This psalm is probably the most well-known psalm. It wouldn't surprise me if many of you could quote it by memory. We often hear it at funerals, and it's really widely known as the funeral psalm. It brings about thoughts of death, mostly because of that passage in the middle, you know, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." As well known as this passage is, I don't think I've ever preached on the 23rd Psalm before. Sometimes the familiar can also be something kind of unfamiliar because we just do it by rote. We usually quote the 23rd Psalm from, you know, the real Bible, the King James. But I'm going to read it today from the New Revised Standard. And while many of you could quote it, I invite you today to listen to the words and to think about the psalmist, what the psalmist must have been thinking. The 23rd Psalm, a psalm of David. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I shall not want. I shall not want. I'm wondering if that's something you say a lot. I don't know about you, but I have this thing that I say, at least on the inside voice. And it's, "If only I had. If only I have, had, or have. If only I had this fixed up. If only I had this gadget. If only I could win the lottery. Or if I only had this thing or that thing, I would be set. I wouldn't need anything else. Then I shall not want." Any possibility that I could get an amen? That don't leave me hanging here thinking I'm the only one that has those thoughts in my head. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I know this world's entire advertising business depends on that little voice in our head that says, "Ooh, I need that. I need that." Do we ever really get to the point in our earthly lives where we feel like we shall not want? Can we get to that point? We tend to read this psalm and we just kind of breeze past that line, right past the important part, and we jump right into that walking through the shadow of death, don't we? I think it's important that we notice that most of the metaphors in this passage are about the present time, not the future, here and now. The Lord, our shepherd, is present here with us as individuals. No other psalm refers to the shepherd as mine. In all the other places, the shepherd is our shepherd. God's relationship to the community, not the individual. But this passage says, the Lord is my shepherd. So looking at this passage as relative today, and as a passage that is deeply personal. So when you're looking at the 23rd Psalm, I think it's important to ask, what are you and God up to these days? When we first hear the psalmist, he is talking about how the Lord, the shepherd, treats him. The shepherd leads me. The shepherd restores me. And then that important phrase, even though I walk through the darkest valley. Hear that again. Even though I walk through the darkest valley. I've never heard that before. The writer didn't say that even though you're put into the shadow, even though you're placed in the valley. How often do we blame God for the messes we get ourselves in? Even the things that aren't our fault, that are just part of the world. But the psalmist is clear, whatever mess I get myself into, I won't fear, because you are with me. And in addition to leading and restoring, you are present with me and you comfort me during that dark time. I think it's also important to hear that the writer is not saying, Lord, Shepherd, you'll always get me out of trouble. We don't hear those words anywhere in this passage either, do we? We hear the shepherd is with us, and the shepherd comforts us in times when we're not in our best place. This passage also promises us a place, even when we're surrounded by people that we don't feel like accept us. The actual word in the Hebrew, which is so often translated as enemy, actually means to bind up, to be distressed, to be in a narrow place. So when we're in the presence of people that make us feel uncomfortable, distressed, like we're alone, the first thought that came to my mind when I thought about that passage is the school cafeteria when, for the first time, that child walks in to a new school. As a teacher, I've watched that so often. What an uncomfortable feeling. Maybe you have felt it at a new job, or when you meet family of a significant other, or maybe when you're just going to something you've never been to before, maybe a new church. Think about how that feels. But the psalmist says that God, even in the midst of that kind of feeling, God prepares a place for us to feel at home, to feel comfortable, to feel at peace. The Hebrew word says shulchan, which means to spread out. What an amazing thought that even in our most stressful times, if we allow it, God will help us spread out and relax. Isn't that a great image? Just laying back. I picture a blanket on a green, cool grass with a feast laid out before me. And though everybody else feels uncomfortable, I feel at peace. No matter who I'm around, no matter how I feel at that moment, I can just breathe and picture myself in the presence of God. Then the passage ends with, my whole life long. I will dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. If you're like me, you learned it from the King James where it says forever. The translation is more like all of life's days. There are so many different opinions on what all of that means. And I don't know what you might think that it means, but I choose to think that we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about being restored or comforted or in fear. We don't have to worry about enemies or forgiveness or mercy or anything like that after this earthly life is done. I'm going to be past all of that. I'll be dwelling with the Lord, but everything's going to be good. But right now, in this earthly life, God is my leader, my comforter, my restorer. And yes, even prepares a feast for me. About 7 years ago, we had the Alliance of Baptists here, and they had some books available that were written by Jerry Weber. They were psalm prayers written in contemplative voice. I didn't buy them. I looked at them. I didn't buy them. Alana did. I was jealous. Actually, I coveted them from her. She would read them at gatherings, and I just loved them. But they were out of print, and I couldn't get them. And so I have been waiting and waiting, going on used bookstore sites all the time. And I finally found two of them. And so Weber's take on the 23rd Psalm is so incredibly beautiful. I would like to read it to you. Lord, you are a shepherd to me, protecting, guiding, so that I need attach myself to no thing and to no one else. I rest safe in the abundance of your sure love, wombed in the safety of your canopy, renewed as living water wash over me. Even when the way seems treacherous to me, on every narrow precipice, you set my feet on solid ground, true to your rock-solid nature. And when I walk through the darkness of death, I will not fear the shadow. I trust that even then, especially then, you are closer to me than my next breath. Comforting, sustaining, shaping me every step of the way. You give me everything I need to feast on life, bread and wine that my foes know nothing about. Your oil poured over me is a visible sign of your choosing. Your cup poured out before me is a visible sign of your passion offered to me. Your generosity and your sure love hound me throughout life, and your heart will be my home from now and for all time. What beautiful words. I particularly love the phrase that I need to attach myself to no thing and no one else. That's rather difficult, isn't it? We want to be connected to others, But attached, attached is what we become. And we needn't be attached to anyone or anything other than God. And when we do that, when we allow ourselves to be attached to God, your heart will be my home. That says it all. May God's heart be your home today and forevermore. Amen and amen.